I'm really excited about this. Werner is from the Durbanville AM congregation, and you'll probably hear a little bit about him, but he is here with his amazing family. And Werner and Nicole, they've been doing for the last 3 months, they've been a part of our church planters training time, where we've been literally for 3 months, they left the congregation that they've been a part of, and they've traveled between the congregations in Joshua. They've gone up to Gauteng. We've been meeting Wednesday nights online doing training times, and it's really been incredible to see what the Lord has done in them. Even from the first meeting to the end, it's like he's completely changed them. And so this morning, it's our privilege to have him ministering. And so I want you to open your hearts to him, to receive him as not just a friend, but actually as an elder in Josh Jen, that he's a part of the family. And so as he comes and shares this morning, I really do pray that you would open your hearts to receive. Is that cool? So Father, we thank you for Werner. I ask, Lord Jesus, would you come and would you speak through him? Lord, that even as he ministers this morning, that there would be a grace and anointing that you put on him that would flow through him into us, that when we hear him, we would hear the words of life. So come, Holy Spirit, in your wonderful name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. As you've all heard, my name is Werner, and we have been on this journey of church planters. But I must say, it's felt like this has been our second home. And I don't know if Dan likes me or he just wants to keep me close, but we've spent 2 weeks with you guys and then with the group again. And it's wonderful that I think this is our last Sunday in a different congregation, that it ends off here with you guys and me being able to share what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart. So as you heard, I'm here with my wonderful family, my wife, Nicole. She is affectionately known as my secret weapon. So I call her that because I think people endure me for the sake of her. I think when people hang out with us, it's because they like her and not so much me. So if you do have the privilege to hang out with us and we with you, you'll definitely find that she's the more life-giving one. I'm the more stable, settled, not very up and down emotional, but that's why the Lord puts us together. And that's why marriage was very difficult the first 3 years, because we are so different, but the Lord knows what he's doing. And then we've got my wonderful daughter here that's also been traveling with us in church planters, and it's so lucky to have her with as part of the journey, and just to see what the Lord's been doing in her, and making it different and new friends. And then we've got a son as well. His name is Damon. He's 21. He works for Leap. He was with us during the week. He couldn't be here today. He loves being here. He loves always critting my preach and saying, you should have done this, and why didn't you do that, and you should have shared this. But it all ends with, yeah, you did well. You did well. So he's still learning the love sandwich. He's going to get there. But I want to jump straight into what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart to share this morning. And as you have heard, we've been on this church planters journey, and we've learned so many amazing and wonderful things. It's really truly been life-changing. And we've been upskilled and sat in sessions. But the biggest thing that I've learned while being on church planters is actually quite basic. And that is the fact that if I plant a church or I lead a church for it to look like Jesus intended it to look, I would need each and every one of you. Each and every one of us plays a role. And the reality is if I plant a church and it's just me and my family, we're just having a family outing. If Dan was here this morning and you weren't here, they would be having coffee in the Life Cafe. That's what they would be doing here. So we need each and every one of you to plant a church. The reality is if I plant a church and you join me, you are just as much of a church planter as I am. If you are here this morning and part of this congregation, you are just as much of a leader as Dan and the elders are. Because the reality is each and every one of us should be leading someone. And if you are here this morning and you have not given your life to the Lord, and you do that today and you walk away here, you will be leading someone. Because when you go home, you'll speak to your wife, you'll speak to your kids, you'll speak to your mom and dad. And that is a reality. We are all leaders here. And because of that, our hearts should be aligned. And we spoke a bit about alignment this morning. Our hearts should be aligned. And what does that look like? What does that mean? Our sole purpose here today and this morning while you are here is for one simple reason, and that is to reach the lost. You are all evangelists as you're sitting here, each and every one of you. There's no ministry of evangelism in church. We are the ministry. We are sitting here as the ministry. That is what we are called to do, and that's why we are here. And the Lord has given us that privilege to be able to lead people. It's really and truly, it is a privilege. And if you are here and you are bringing people to church, I want to make a promise, because this is something that I know is a big value for us in Durbanville, but also here, that is, if you bring someone here, there will be an opportunity for them to give their life. I know Dan and the elders here feel exactly the same. There's not a Sunday that will go past that we won't create an opportunity. And if you might be here visiting today, I want to tell you that I'm going to give you the opportunity later to give your life to him as well. Amen. And a lot of the times when I hear people speak about the church and how the church look and how it should look, it's this picture of that we come and we're part of something and we're moving somewhere. It's almost like you climb on a bus or a train and then we're heading somewhere, which is partly true. But you are climbing on something, but you're climbing on a boat, as you can see in the picture there. But the thing is this, you are not just a passenger, you are a rower in that boat. And the thing is this, if you are not fulfilling your duty as a rower in the intensity and the direction, you are hindering the person sitting right next to you today for them to reach their journey and where they are going. That is how the kingdom works. We are all here for one another. And this felt the Lord speak to me of this little slogan. My wife said it's a little bit corny, but I'm going to use it anyway. And it's a little something that I want to, a visual representation, and just something I want to mention for you to remember what we're speaking about today. And maybe you can just go to the next slide there. If you don't, then we won't. And if we won't, then they don't. And it's this concept of first me, then we, and then they, as we go out. And that is what the Lord has called us, because he works through me first and in you first to work here in us so that we can go out and reach the lost. And that's the title of my message this morning. It takes all of us. It takes me, it takes we, and it takes us to go and reach them. And before I dive into some scripture that I want to share this morning, I want to share a true story about Charles Spurgeon. I don't know if you probably heard that name. He's written many books, many devotionals. It's this beautiful and wonderful story that ties the me, we, and them story together so well. And the story goes, and this is Charles Spurgeon that told the story, is then when he was 15 years of age, he was a teenager. And his family, his grandfather, his father, they were all ministers. And he saw the value of a Christian life growing up. But there was something in his life amiss. He hasn't given his life to the Lord yet. He hasn't experienced the Lord in a way that's truly reformed or changed the way that he sees and lives. But he knew the answer that was in the church. So he visited different churches. And this one Sunday morning, this is in the 1800s, so transportation wasn't that great. He wanted to go to a specific church because he heard that's where it happened. The church was Josh Jane in the 1800s. I think Russell was leading the church back then. This was not Josh Jen. But he wanted to go to that church. But the Sunday and the weekend, there was such a terrible storm that broke out that he couldn't get to the church. It was impossible to travel to that church. But he knew there was a small little Methodist church around the corner from his home. And he said, listen, I'm going to go there. I'm at least going to go to a church to see what this is all about, and to create a space for the Lord to speak to me. He went to this church and he walked through the snow, and there was people sitting in the church, but everybody was confused. They didn't know what's going on, for the simple reason that the guy preaching, the leader of that church, couldn't make it because of the weather. So all the congregants were sitting like you are, and they were waiting for someone to share the message. But what happened was, and Spurgeon describes him as a layman, and that's just someone that doesn't have a specific skill or not very gifted. Just this person got up from the crowd, he walked forward, and he had one scripture that he shared in Isaiah about looking unto God. He said he didn't share for very long, it was very basic, very short. But because of his passion, because of what the Lord did in his heart, Charles Spurgeon got saved because of that message. And it's such a beautiful story of a life turned around because of one individual's journey with the Lord. that got up, that didn't have any particular skill, he wasn't well spoken. He got up and shared a message, and one of the greatest preachers and someone that's written over 150 books got saved because of that message. And that is the picture, I believe, for the church today, that it takes each and every one of us. And as we walk into what the Lord has called each and every one of us, we here will walk into what the Lord has called for us as a church. And because of that, we'll be able to reach the lost. So what I felt to do, and I think Dan will be okay with this, I felt just to end my message there and create a space for you guys, and I'm going to choose a couple of people in the audience, maybe just to share what the Lord has laid on their heart this morning, seeing that we come here to give of ourselves, if that's okay, Dan. So I see a lot of people looking down and not wanting to make face. I'm not really going to do that. I did prep a little bit more. But I'm going to tell you, if your heart was beating and you were looking down right now, I think the Lord is speaking to you. And there's a measure that we should come here ready to give of ourselves. We are here to row. We're not here to sit and spectate. That is the picture of the church. Yes, you come here for health. Yes, you come here to be restored. But in that, that's a process, and the Lord works in and through you. If you have your Bibles, if you can please turn with me to Ephesians 1, verse 3. You guys have it up there, yes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. What a couple of scriptures that is. I think if you wake up every morning and you read this, you'll be ready for the day. And there's so many wonderful promises in that scripture. In the book of Ephesians, if you read it, it drives home this concept of me, we, and them so beautifully. And seen by many scholars as a book that we can apply, and it's very applicable for where we find ourselves in our life today and as a community, and what's happening in the world for application and for today. It starts off, it says, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So what does that mean? The Lord has given each and every one of us everything we would need for a life in godliness, everything we'd need for the church that we are in to fulfill our role here, and everything we would need to reach the lost for his name. That's the promise he's given you. That's the standard. There's no getting around it. If you are sitting here and you're feeling that you are not equipped, it's not because you aren't. It's maybe because you should believe what the Lord has said and promised in his word. It goes on, it says, you are a chosen people, decided before the world began. Turn to the person next to you and say that you are chosen. The Lord chose you. It goes on to say he predestined you in love. So what does that predestined mean? It basically, what it means is it was your destiny because he loved you to be his son and daughter before the foundation of the world. That is such a beautiful promise, and that gives me so much hope in my journey, and I hope it does for you too. But the thing with Scripture is, if we read it, Scripture's got this amazing ability to encourage us, to help us, to lead us in our journey, to make us full of faith for what he's called us to do. But Scripture also has the ability to cut us, and it has the ability for us to do introspection of our lives today. And I want to allow the Scripture to do that, because you know the difficulty, or sometimes if standing up here you want to preach good things because people feel good, and then everybody smiles, and then you feel like, yo, that was nice, everybody smiled at me. But that's not how Scripture works. And this morning I want to ask a couple of questions of us, and I think that would be different questions for different people, but I believe there's a standard in Scripture that the Lord calls us to live to, and when we read that, if we measure our lives to that and it doesn't line up, there's something in our hearts that should want to shift. And that's what I want to do this morning. And if we carry Or if we read and go back to the scripture, you can just leave it on the board. It says in verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And what does it say after that? That we should be holy and blameless. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you living a life that's holy and blameless? Is there things in your life that's maybe hindering the Holy Spirit from working in and through you? Are there things in your life that's maybe in secret that no one knows about? I want to ask you another question. Do you love the Lord? And if I answer that question, and I know in your heart immediately you've got an answer, and you'll say yes. But what in your life reflects that love? And does it reflect that love if people look at your life? Yeah. Matthew 22, verse 37. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Does he possess all your being and everything you do? Is it rooted in utter dependency on him? I think love is one of those emotions that the Lord has given us that we do so well. Each and every one of us sitting here today loves so well. The problem is sometimes we love other things more than we love the Lord. And if we do that, we cannot fulfill what he has called you to do. He needs to be the lover of your soul. He needs to be the only thing that you love more than anything else. That is as plain and as simple as that. If we read that verse, it speaks the previous one. It speaks about finding a purpose. Have you found your purpose in God? Do you know what your purpose is and why you are here? And I want to ask a couple of questions to some of us. If you are single here this morning, are you settled in your singleness? Mostly. Declan. Now Declan looks very settled. Are you settled in your singleness? Are you happy with your job, where you work? I see so many people moving around because work is difficult. Their boss is difficult. Their co-workers are difficult. Hours are difficult. And this thing is just, I'm just looking for job satisfaction because my life would be easy if I've got job satisfaction. But I believe that the Lord calls us to be satisfied in our jobs. And sometimes he puts us something to work in us and shape us and mold us so we can reflect him well and be a light into a difficult situation. Are you happy with your spouse? I'm not hearing my wife say anything. Are you happy with your spouse? I see so many married couples walking around unhappy. And if you read Ephesians, there's a big portion in Ephesians 5 and 6 that speaks about family life. And I felt I just don't want to ask the question, are you happy in your marriage? I want to touch on the highlights of those scriptures. So maybe if you can put the next slide up for me, please. The next one. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. I don't know why it says your own husbands. Wives find it difficult to submit to one husband. I don't know why they would submit to someone else's. I think these scriptures are so plain and simple. It is either do you or do you not. There's no gray area there. Wives, do you submit to your husbands? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How are we doing with that? I'm failing at that. I must be honest. My intention is to reach that standard, and I do the best I can, but I fail. But do I learn from that? Am I quick? Is that the standard? Because I feel sometimes we read scriptures and that is the standard. If I'm close there, it's okay, but it's not. That's the standard. Would we fail? Yes. If you ask my wife, if I fail, she will definitely say yes. But do I try be better? Do I learn from my mistakes? That's also a yes. Kids, this morning, I was hoping that there wasn't any kids' church. But for the kids that are here, the Bible speaks to you too. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it's right. Glad my daughter is also here this morning. Obey the Lord, obey your Lord as well, but obey your mother and your father. It says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Isn't that a beautiful promise? I don't know if that long in the land speaks about, because I sometimes see parents look like they want to wring their child's neck because they're naughty. I don't know if that's what it refers to. But it's so beautiful that there's a promise attached to it for our kids. Fathers, do not provoke your children in anger. Do not discipline them out of a place of being angry or frustrated. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this is such a difficult thing, I believe, for parents and for kids. And I know we're going through a bit of a journey where the easiest thing for me to do is to say yes. Can I do this? Yes. Can I watch this? Yes. Can I go there? Yes. Can I sleep with my friends? Yes. That is the easiest thing to do as a parent. And your kids would be very happy if you do that. But that's not what the world calls us to do as parents. Kids, sometimes your parents have to say no. Not because they don't love you. It is because they do love you. But there's also a mandate on how we should raise our kids. And we need to teach you the ways to live your life so that you can reflect the Lord well when you raise your kids. And that's not my decision. That's what the Bible calls me to do. Because if you don't, then we won't. And if we won't, then they don't. And these questions might be a little bit confronting, but that's the aim. I want to confront you a little bit this morning because it gives you a measuring stick on how you're doing in yourself. Because remember, you are being used in this church. And because you are being used in this church, there should be a measure that you're walking into what the Lord has called you to do. You should be in the boat rowing with us at the speed and at the pace that we are rowing. And this thing is this, is there is this standard of Scripture that calls us to live a certain way, but it's impossible for us to live in perfection all the time. And I see so many people aiming for perfection and not attaining it that they just don't do it anymore. But the thing is this, is we should always aim for progress, maybe not for perfection. And there should always be a measure of looking more like Jesus every single time in every single situation for Him to be able to work in and through us. And when we do that, and we're in that place, and we get these things right, the Lord can use us here. And we come here and we can be used because we are effective and we are honoring the Lord in the way we live our lives. I read this in one of the commentaries. I read this beautiful description of the church. It says, the church is the theater for the display of God's manifold wisdom. That means if we are... Imagine people going to a show, and we the show. If they look at us and they see us and they have a camera here maybe looking at us this morning, what would they think about Christianity and the Lord? Would we reflect Him well? If they could see into our hearts, what would they see? Would be a pleasant experience, something beautiful to see? The thing is this, we are privileged to be part of a church like this. I'm so thankful that the Lord saved me into a Joshian church when I was, I don't know how old I was, it was 18 years ago. I'm so thankful for that because my life has been changed because of the church that I am in. And I want to tell you, if you're here for the first time or if you've been visiting here for a while, it's definitely not about Joshian, but it is about a church that believes in Jesus Christ and His ways and the way we read it in the Word and applying it in our lives daily. And that is a privilege. If you are like me, the first couple of years, we were involved in our church, and then we started doing outreaches and getting out, and I actually realized what we have where I am. It's a privilege to be part of a body and a family like you guys have, and like a church like Josh Jen. The thing is this, the Lord works in us individually before He works in us collectively. If we turn to Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3, it says, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. And we need to walk worthy in the calling to which you have been called. And once again, if you are here this morning, there is a role for you here where you are. And I'm going to repeat that because it's so important for us to look the way we should look, for us to be effective the way we should be, for us to reach the lost the way we should be. We need to all walk in that calling. We should be asking, where can I serve? Who can I encourage? Where can I contribute? How is my life making a difference in this church? It goes on, it carries to say, we must have a love for his bride. Are we bearing one another in love? Is the fruit that you are showing humility, gentleness, and patience as you meet with one another, as someone offends you, as someone takes your parking, as someone doesn't greet you? I know Dan doesn't have a parking yet. That's why everybody takes his parking. There's this thing that they speak about unity. We must be a united people as we sit here. And the scripture says, where two or more are gathered there he is. And when he's there, there's unity. And I think sometimes we have this concept that we need to create unity, but we don't. We need to protect it. It is here. It is there. We have unity. But it's something that we need to walk in and protect it. How do you deal with offenses? How do you process that? We need to be careful in the way we speak and gossip and slander. And then another question, how well do you follow your leaders? There's sometimes I hear, when you're in eldership and you just hear people speak, there's a thing of the elders, they're appointed by God, and they sometimes feel a certain direction for the church. How do we communicate that? The elders feel we should do this, so we're going to do it, is one way of obedience. But there's also something that we feel that this is something from the Lord. So if it's something they ask me to do, it will become something that becomes part of me. And it won't be the elders ask, but let's we do this. Let's we walk in that. It's something of you picking up and making something your own as the Lord leads this congregation. Because once again, you're on the boat with us. You are rowing with us, the same direction with us. Do we value the input of the apostolic into our congregation, in our church? And once again, these are all questions I'm asking, because immediately when I ask and you ask yourself the question, you know how you're measuring up. And I do believe this morning is a morning of the Lord definitely wanting to come and recalibrate us. And there was this word this morning about new wineskins. And these are not new things I'm telling you, but these are all things we constantly struggle with and struggle to get right. And I do believe the Lord is calling, and where he's leading us and what he's doing in his church, that we should get to a place where we are ready to be used. And we do not struggle with these things. We do not go against what scripture says and speaks about. Because the reality is, if we are healthy, the church will be healthy. And when the church is healthy, something beautiful happens. The world out there notices us and the way we live. We need, and we've got a mandate to reach the lost. Like I said, we're all called to be evangelists. The church exists for people who are not here yet. That is why we meet today. There is a measure that you come here to be made whole and be made more like the Lord. But the ultimate aim is not for you just to feel good about yourself. The aim is to reach people who does not know the Lord. So is that what you're thinking? If you see a visitor, is your first intention, let someone else speak, or is it, I want to see you, because you can evangelize even as you're sitting here. Who are they? I want to introduce myself. I want to share a bit of my story. I want to tell them what the Lord has done. I want to hear their story. I want to see how I can be there for them, help them, pray for them, stand with them as they are here and they're here for the first time. Is that something of our hearts? Because I believe if we get the me right, we will get the we right. Ephesians 6 verse 19 to 20, it says, "And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador for in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." And if we get the me and the we right, we will be the ambassadors that the Lord calls us to be. And I want to make a bold statement. I think if we live in the place where we get the me right and we get the we right, I think reaching them is a consequence of that. We will never ever have to be reminded to go out and reach the lost. I think it will be something that's a passion in us. It will be burning in our hearts. We will not help but be able to do that. If we live holy and blameless, if we love Him, if our families reflect Him, if we love His bride, if the church is united, we will be a sweet-smelling sacrifice. We will be a city on a hill, and we'll be a light to the world. Michael, maybe if you can come up so long and maybe just play a little bit in the background. The thing is, if we get this right, our church will change. And if our church changes, the city will change. And if the city changes, our country will change. And if our country changes, the world can change. But the thing is, it starts with me. I'm not preaching at you. I'm convicted by this as well. It starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with one person. And are you ready to be that person and live in the calling the Lord has for you? And climb in the boat and row with us. I believe that this is not a message for some of us. I believe this is something for all of us. And if there's something in you this morning that feels stirred to maybe change or do better, a stirring that the Lord is doing for you to maybe step into the role here that you are meant to play, or even something in your heart this morning that the Lord wants to come in vigor for the people that do not know Him. If you all at all feel called this morning for the Lord to come work in your life and there's something to change, I wonder if you can stand with me. And I'm standing, but I'm also standing. And I would love to take this opportunity just to pray over us. Maybe if you can just bow your heads. Thank you, Lord, that there's always more in you. Thank you that we'll never, ever reach our full potential here on earth, Father. There's always more of you that we can discover, more of us that we can give. Not because we have to, Lord, but because we love you and we want you. So this morning, Lord, I pray that you'll come stir our hearts, Jesus, for more, Lord. Thank you that you predestined us to do good works, Lord. And where our lives have not been holy and blameless, Father, we're going to come this morning and just repent of that, Lord. We want to be a holy people that walks closely with you. And Lord, we want to be a church that reflects you well. So Lord, as we do that, Lord, I pray that you'll bring those on our path that do not know you, Lord, the lost and dying world, Lord, the world that you died on a cross for, Lord, because you love them. So we just open up our hearts, Lord, and I open up my heart to you this morning. And I forgive of those things, Lord, that I have missed. And the things that you are speaking to me about, Father. Because I want to give you all the glory, Lord. I want to give you all the honor. And I want to be a vessel that you can use, Lord. And that's my prayer for this church, Lord. That our lives will reflect the beauty of who you are and what you can do in and through us. And there's another group of people this morning that I'd love to pray for. And as we are still just bowing our heads and keeping our eyes closed, we've heard the story about Charles Spurgeon and what happened with him and what the Lord did in his life. And maybe if you are here this morning for the first or second or even the third time and you've never responded to the gospel, I want to tell you, just as the Lord had a plan for Charles's life, he does have a plan for yours. He has a plan for your life. Maybe you are even here this morning and you have given your life once upon a time, but you've drifted so far away that you do not understand and know the person of Jesus like you once did. Maybe you need to get to a place of a reconnection or recalibration with our Father this morning. And I want to tell you, it's not because of what you've done right this morning, but it's because of what he's done on the cross for you. It's because he loves you. It's because he predestined you that he's calling you this morning. And if you are here this morning and you've never, ever given your life to Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to do so. And also, if you are here and you feel a call for recommitment or recalibration, I'd love to be able to pray with you as well. If there's anybody here like that this morning. You can just raise your hands so that I can see you. Thank you for the calling, Lord, that you call us, each and every one of us, Lord. So I'm going to give it a moment more. Thank you, Lord, that we are all children and sons and daughters of you, Father. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord, on a cross. Thank you that you died because you love us, but you also died to give us purpose. And Lord, I pray as we head home and leave here this morning, I pray that you'll remind us of that purpose and what that is. And Lord, where we maybe have fallen short, or there's things that we need to confess, or things in our lives, I pray, Lord, that we will get to someone and reach someone and confess those things. So thank you, Lord, for your beautiful, wonderful word that gives us direction and encouragement. But it also convicts us to make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.